Morning, radio listeners. Welcome to the Because He Lives program. I am George Lowell, pastor of the Dobbs Church of the Nazarene. I am delighted to be able to share with you again today. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day you have made. Thank you for those who are listening to us. We are faced with many challenges in our daily lives, including some things which seem impossible. So we ask that this broadcast today will help us as we navigate the issues of life. I ask that you will be with each one today, that you would meet our every need. And may this broadcast be a source of encouragement to everyone who hears it. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to share with you on the promise of restoration today. Looking at Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 to 14, I want to look at the question that God asked Ezekiel in verse 3 of that chapter. Son of man, can these bones live? God tells Ezekiel what to do about the condition of his nation. He stirs his faith for action, and Ezekiel responds, how would God direct us to respond to our impossible situations? Have you ever faced a situation and you wondered whether anything could be done to fix it? Have you ever had a financial debt that looked like an insurmountable mountain? Sometimes we have situations where there is sickness that is prolonged and ongoing. A woman with the issue of blood. Sometimes it may be a wayward child, or an unbelieving husband, maybe no husband at all. Discouraging difficulties, impossible circumstances, we all face these from time to time. And there's a song where the chorus begins with these questions. Got any rivers you think are uncrossable? Any mountains you can't tunnel through? God specializes in things thought impossible, and he can do what no other power can do. I want us to keep that in mind as we walk through Ezekiel's experience with him. Follow me as we read Ezekiel chapter 37, verse 1 to 3. The hand of the Lord came upon me, brought me out in the spirit of the Lord, and set me down in the midst of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass by all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. And he said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? So I answered, O Lord God, you know. Ezekiel was a priest called by God to a prophetic ministry, and his ministry briefly overlapped with that of Jeremiah. Like Jeremiah, he confronted Judah about their unfaithfulness to God. Unlike Jeremiah, he was carried away to Babylon with the captives in 597 BC, and his message was primarily to demoralize Jews who were deported to Babylon. In the vision recorded in our text, God is promising to restore Israel. The promise is fulfilled at two levels. A partial fulfillment occurred in 538 BC, when Cyrus allowed the captives to return to their homeland. Complete fulfillment began in 1948, will consummate in the millennium. However, God operates according to principles revealed in this chapter. So it has application for our lives today. We will talk about both as we walk through the text. Ezekiel introduces the vision in verse 1 by saying, the hand of the Lord came upon me. God reached out his hand on Ezekiel. The hand is a part of us we use to extend ourselves to others or to something. We reach out our hand when we want to cut something or take something, or we want to influence or affect it. We do it to hug and embrace others. God put his hand on Ezekiel, and it is a human-like expression. God took hold of Ezekiel. It's possible to belong to God, but not have his hand extended to you in this way. So when God puts his hand on you, things happen. When the early church prayed in Acts chapter 4 and verse 30, they asked God to stretch out his hand, heal, that signs and wonders may be done. Some from the early church took the gospel to the Greeks with great success. Acts 11:21 says, and the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. They were successful because the hand of the Lord was with them. The hand of the Lord speaks of power. Strength and power are expressed through his hand. The hand of the Lord came on Ezekiel and brought him in the spirit of the Lord. Ezekiel continues, I set me down in the midst of the valley. It was full of bones. Have you ever had God set you in a valley? Have you ever been in a valley full of bones? I'm talking about circumstances where death and hopelessness is all around you. Ezekiel is living with the Jewish captives in Babylon. Those captives are like dry bones. Their hopes and dreams are dashed and dead. Their plans have been dashed. The Bible is noticeably clear about how they got in that condition. It can be summed up in one word, sin. Long before this judgment came, God pleaded with Israel over and over to repent. Jeremiah said to Israel in Jeremiah 25 and verse 4, and the Lord has sent you all his servants, the prophets, rising early and sending them, but you have not listened nor inclined your ear to hear. That's how Israel got into their sad circumstance. And circumstances don't always come into our lives by mere chance. The sovereign God is at work in our lives. God was allowing the circumstances to call them to repentance. Could he solve their problem? Of course he could. But he is the one who brought these circumstances upon them. The troubles have a purpose. They are God's attention getters. And God wants them to turn from their wicked ways and turn to him with their hearts, with all their heart. Anyone who does that will experience the mercy and grace of God. Ezekiel, and these bones live. So let's look at the condition of these bones. Ezekiel says, verse 2, that he caused me to pass by them all around, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and indeed, they were very dry. Ezekiel saw that the whole valley was full of bones. By the leading of the Lord, he walked all around them and inspected them. There were many bones. The bones were very dry. All the life had gone out of them. All the moisture had dissipated as they lay bleached out by the sun. It was an utterly hopeless situation. Nothing left but dry, bleached out bones. Humanly speaking, there was no possibility of reviving these corpses. They were dead and gone. Only the bones lay as a reminder of what had been. Then God encouraged Ezekiel with a question in verse 3. Son of man, can these bones live? What a question. Humanly speaking, the answer is clear. No way. They are beyond hope. Sick people can be given medicine. Perhaps they will recover. But there is nothing the best doctor can do for a skeleton of dry bones. The bones had even fallen apart so that they weren't even a skeleton. They couldn't tell which bones were originally connected with the other bones. It was a mess. And yet, God asked the question of Ezekiel, "Son of man, can these bones live?" You may be facing a seemingly hopeless situation. Everything is going wrong, and God wants to ask us as well today, can your circumstances change? And Ezekiel's answer was clear. He said, "Oh Lord God, you know." It's not the kind of answer you give when you're on the mountain of faith. If you were, the answer would be, "You can do it, Lord. You could make these bones live." But Ezekiel's experience is not a mountaintop experience. It is a valley experience. He's a man living in the midst of much discouragement. A man like that gives this kind of answer. "I don't know. You know. I don't know much about anything these days. I'm not so sure of things. Not even sure I could have given the right answer or even give the right answer if God asked that." No. But Ezekiel's answer is not an arrogant answer. All that has been crushed. But it is also not the answer of a man who has lost his faith either. For Ezekiel and all his companions have been through some hard times. Their captivity has brought despondency and discouragement. The trials of life have taken their toll, just like some of you are feeling today. But there is something in Ezekiel that stands firm in God, that must stand firm in all of us as well. His answer sounds a lot like Peter after the crucifixion of Jesus. Peter had not lived up his own ideals. He had denied the Lord after telling him he would stand with him through thick and thin. His self-confidence has been shattered. The resurrected Christ asked him a question in John 21. "Do you love me? Do you agape me? Do you love me with the God kind of love?" And Peter answers with a diminished form of love. He uses the Greek word philio, a friendship kind of love. "Yes, Lord, you know I love you." He doesn't have the courage to use the word agape after his terrible failure. He knows deep down that he does love the Lord. And just like God restored Peter, he will restore you as well. Ezekiel's answer is somewhat tentative. There's a ring of faith there as well. "Oh Lord God, you know." You see, Ezekiel knows his own human limitations. Is only the Son of Man. He is talking to the sovereign God, one who created those bones in the first place. So there is faith expressed even in the way Ezekiel addresses the Lord. He says, "Oh Lord God, you know." That's right, friends. God knows about every situation and every circumstance you are facing. And he knows exactly what he's going to do about him. So God answers his own question. He says to Ezekiel, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord." So God has given Ezekiel the opportunity to work with him to bring about change in the circumstances. And Ezekiel has the golden opportunity to see God at work firsthand. In other words, God is saying to Ezekiel, "Take action. Speak my word over these bones." Jesus said in John 6:63, "The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." So words anointed by the Spirit of God brings life. Ezekiel, let's begin with this. God is saying to him, "You prophesy to these bones. You declare my word over these bones." And that ignites a process of life. "Say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. So the question can be asked, how can speaking words affect dry dead bones? Well, the answer is clear. The same way Jesus spoke, peace be still, the winds and the waves on the Sea of Galilee calmed the storm. The same way Joshua's command, son, stand still, and stopped the light from ending. When God orders it, the words are powerful. It will be done. And so in verse 5, Ezekiel's word comes and it says, thus says the Lord God to these bones, surely I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will put sinews on you and bring flesh upon you. I will cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. So Ezekiel, you speak it at my command, and I will bring it to pass by my power, is what God is saying. So when God tells us to do something, what we have to do is obey. We may not know all the ins and outs of how it will get done. But when God wants someone to speak his word, he issues his commands, and we are expected to obey. And I believe today that God wants someone to speak his word today as he commands, so that hopeless, lifeless situations and difficulties may be resolved today. A Harvard professor talking about the experience Columbus had when he connected the new world of America to the old world of Europe pointed out three things about Columbus. First, he said when he left Spain, he did not know where he was going. Secondly, when he arrived in America, he did not know where he was. And thirdly, when he returned to Spain, he did not know where he had been. If Columbus could accomplish great things in that condition, perhaps there is hope for you and I. Perhaps God will do some good things through us despite our limitations. And so verse 7 tells us, and so I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and suddenly a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to bone. I wonder if the effectiveness of Ezekiel's declaration startled him. Who would you respond if all of a sudden you began to hear these bones rattling and clicking as they came together? O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Suddenly, those bones do hear. Suddenly, they do obey. Suddenly, they start moving and shaking. The toe bone connect to the foot bones. The foot bones connect to the ankle bones. The ankle bones connect to the leg bones. Everything that lay dormant is moving around. And it is not random, because now the bone connects to the hip bone just like it was designed to be. The hip bone connects to the spine, and the spine connects to the shoulder bone. And it goes on, bone to bone, connecting to each other. That's what God wants to do in our circumstances today. He wants to bring life to that which seems hopeless and dead and decayed. And as I think of the situation with the church, I am asking God to put the pieces of this puzzle together. And I realize the bones of God's church are laying all over this nation of Barbados. Many are sitting in a bar on Saturday night, drowning in their sorrows. Many were once in a church. Now they are disillusioned with church. Many people's lives are very dry and filled with discouragement and despair because of the pressures of life. Listeners, life is found in our connection with the Lord. When people pull away from God, they can get very dry. And you and I might look at them and think they will never come around. They will never change. And the Lord asks us the question he asked Ezekiel, and these bones live. Can these people be delivered from sin? Can those who backslid be restored to faith again? Don't look like they would ever come around. And humanly speaking, the cases look too hard. The Lord knows the heart of every one of them. He knows his plans for them. He wants you and I to prophesy, to speak the word, to preach over them, to declare the word of the Lord over them. Prophecy or prophesy is another word for preach. So preach to them. Share the word. Give the word of the Lord to them and watch them come alive. Not because of who you are, but because of the life that is in God's word. Watch the bones start to rattle, shake, rattle, and roll. Bones come into God's order of things. So how will God shape our church? How will he shape this Barbados district? He will bring bones from the north, south, east, and west. He will connect bone to bone. And he will put flesh on these bones and skin on the flesh. It doesn't all happen overnight. It happens when we proclaim the word of the Lord. Ezekiel says in verse 8, indeed, as I looked, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them over, but there was no breath in them. An amazing miracle has occurred. There is still work to do. The bones have come together. Sinews and flesh have come upon the bones. It all looks much better. But something is still not right. There is no breath in these bodies. Everything looks good on the surface, but it's still dead. And as a people, sometimes that's how we are. On the outside, everything looks good. We're smiling. We're appearing to be happy, but deep inside, everything is falling apart. And so it is good to have restoration where the externals are good. God always wants to move deeper and change the internals as well. We have lots of people who look well organized, well connected. But something is not right because the spirit is absent. So God lets Ezekiel know that he can't, must not stop here. This is good, but it does not fulfill the objective of full restoration. And so in verse 9, it says, alas, he said to me, prophesied the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may live. So I prophesy, as he commanded me. So God tells Ezekiel what to do next. You and I must not be satisfied with something that just looked good. It has to have the life of God in it. So call forth the breath, wind, or spirit. It can have any of these meanings. And after God formed Adam from the dust of the ground, it is said in Genesis 2:7, God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he became a living soul. Ezekiel prophesied over these lifeless bodies, and the breath of God came into them. So he says in verse 10, so I prophesied, as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceedingly great army. This is when the life of God came into them, two things happened. They stood up, they rose to their feet, they became active. And that's what happens to an individual and to the church, the Spirit of God comes into their lives. They become active. They get their feet. And secondly, they became an exceedingly great army. an army that was ready and equipped to fight the Lord's battle. They were no longer lifeless and defenseless. They were an exceedingly great army. So we don't have to figure out the interpretation of all of this. God gives that to us in verse 11. And he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They indeed say our bones are dry, our hope is lost, and we ourselves are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, Thus says the Lord God, Behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up from your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. These bones are the whole house of Israel. This is a prophecy to the nation of Israel. Israel's companions were in a state of hopelessness in Babylon. They felt like dead, dry bones. They said their hope was lost. They considered themselves cut off from their homeland and forsaken by God. God said, I'm going to bring them up out of their prisons that feel like graves. I will bring you into your homeland. Some of us may feel hopeless like they did. Some of us feel that hopelessness about our church, about our communities, about our family situations, about our jobs, our relationships, about our future, about any number of things. I say to us today, hear the word of the Lord to us. Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, son of man, say to the breath, Thus says the Lord, Come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me. Let our circumstances, whatever they are today, hear the word of the Lord. Let God's word speak to our circumstances the way he spoke Israel through Ezekiel. It has an application for all God's people. When we think of all, in you and I think, all is hopeless. God may ask us, can these bones live? Be sure you put it in his hands. And even though you may not be sure, at least say, Lord God, you know. And when he tells you to speak the word of the Lord over those bones, do it. For it is an act of faith that God honors. Declare the word of the Lord over your family. Declare the word of the Lord over your finances. Tell your body to line up with God's provision of health and healing. Speak God's word over your loved ones for their salvation, over your troubles for their resolution, over every area of your life and everything you need. God, pay attention to the faith. When God says, prophesy, speak the word of the Lord, you may hear some dry bones start rattling and moving. But remember, if nothing else, God honors faith. We heed his word. Father, we thank you today for your word. May your word go forth with power and with authority. And God, may those words now change people's circumstances and their situations and cause them to see full and complete restoration to that which they knew before and to an even greater place. Do this for those who are listening today who feel hopeless, who feel like nothing is going for them. I pray that you will change their circumstances today. And that in the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, your word to them today will make the world of difference. And they will know that you are a God who does what seems impossible. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Let me just share an announcement with you as we wrap up this broadcast today.
Nazarene Day is back. It will be held on Monday, the 29th of April at 9 a.m. at the King George V Memorial Park. There will be worshiping ministry, the parade of zonal teams, sports, games, and athletics, a health and wellness clinic, a business exposition, line dancing, and a fitness session. We are encouraging all Nazarenes to wear your zone colors. Looking forward to seeing all of you at Nazarene Day.
Thank you for listening to us today. May God richly bless you. Have a wonderful day as he changes our circumstances. Amen.
Worth the living just